Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Access Possibilities School Radio Show, rediscovering the joy of learning. And today our topic is dealing with magically fragile students. Maybe they are magical. And I am here, Adele King, one of the teachers of the Access Possibilities School, and I am joined with Simone Pador, another of our teachers at the Access Possibilities School. Hello, hello.
Hi.
So I was thinking about this, and at first, my response to this topic, when I saw it, I was like, I don't have any experience with this. And then I was like, wow, that's not true at all. So I'm wondering, is this something that you have come across, Simone? Like, what is your...
Well, like yourself, I was sort of like, I don't know. But then once I started talking to people and our director and stuff, and I said, you know, what is this about? Like, I don't know if I have any experience with this. And she was like, it's really just kids that maybe do have a lot of, you know, childhood illnesses or illnesses that they've had. And I have had students that, you know, I've had students who had cancer and were away from school for long periods of time, or while they were at school, or even, you know, teenagers who've had heavy periods, and that often takes them off school, or allergies. All of those kinds of things affect kids and affect their attendance. And I thought, oh, well, yeah, I do have experience with that. So,
cool. Well, and so, right. And so I thought about this, and I was like, oh, when I was teaching preschool, we actually had one of the kids had a feeding tube. Like, so that was like,
oh, wow.
Serious, like medical. And he was tiny and he was fragile. And I was like, wow. So I definitely have some experience with this. And I too, you know, I was like scanning and going over and thinking about it. And yes, what you're bringing up is way more common, is like, you know, the kids that are sick often and dealing with a lot of that kind of stuff. And, you know, the thing that I kind of came to was like, really, like, what expectations do people mm-hmm. have when they decide that someone is medically fragile or that they've got a lot of stuff going on with their physical health? And I remember with this one child in particular that had the feeding tube, he had a lot of stuff going on, but he was really smart. He was a really mm-hmm. brilliant child. And I think a lot of times people kind of dismissed him or like put him in his own category and didn't expect much from him.
Yeah.
And I just noticed that, and I was like, wow, like, which is an expectation in and of itself. Like, oh, because he has mm-hmm. this, like, we shouldn't expect much. And I just was like, once I came in and I was like, oh my gosh, he's brilliant. Like, what is he mm-hmm. capable of, and how can we him to create and to play and to contribute ways that are maybe different than what everybody else is doing, but allow him to participate equally or to even create beyond some of his peers.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I wonder, like, what are some things that you've noticed when you've come across those students that you've used different?
Well, I think, as you say, like, your point of view really is huge. I have as you were talking about it, I was thinking of a young cousin that I have who's probably now about 14, but he was, what is it called? Is it cerebral palsy he was born with? And so, I mean, he had to be in a pram till he was like 8, you know, like a pushchair I'm using all these English terms, like a baby carriage kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, and he had to have all these special things, and he had to have therapy and stuff like that. And his parents never had the point of view that he couldn't do things and he couldn't be involved in things. And they really let him push himself, because he was a really bright little kid, and he still is. And
it's amazing when the parents don't have a point of view and the school doesn't have a point of view, how much that kid can grow and flourish. And I mean, he is amazing at so many things, and he really does push himself physically to be involved in things. So it really makes a difference. And I'm sure he's had to have time off school. He did get really tired, and there was definitely things that had to be done differently so that he could participate. And this is something else that's coming up for me is Susie Godsey, who works a lot with animals, and I know some people may not like the comparison, but kids, well, people in general, to me, are a lot like your dogs and cats. They have their personalities, they have their quirks. And what she would do is she would make sure that every time she went on holiday or she travels a lot, that she would connect with her dog, like just energetically tap in with him or look at his picture and just connect with him. And I find even parents of, you know, regular kids, you know, they can, not always, but some people disconnect from their kids when they leave the kid at school or when they leave the house or whatever. And that's really upsetting for the kid because it really feels like you've gone away and you're never coming back. And to me, when you've got a kid that is medically fragile and maybe they spend a lot of time away from school, to just tap into them, you know, and you can do that with your students or whatever, and just say, let's just tap into so-and-so. Just say, hey. And that gives them a sense that they are still part of the school. They are still part of, you know, what you guys are doing. And I think that's a big piece too.
And that's a great tool too, that that tapping in or flowing energy is a great thing for parents as well when they're feeling like nervous about mm-hmm. their child, to like check in and see like, oh, how are they doing? And just be aware of like where they're at can give you a lot of information on how mm-hmm. they are without having to like call or actually be at the school, so that you can be at work or at home and doing what you need to do and still be connected to your child and be aware of where they're at and how they're doing.
And it's really as simple as just, and it is a muscle, like you get better at it the more you use it, is it's just you sort of ask, okay, like, how's Susie doing? How's Bob doing? You know, and you just, and parents have a sense of that anyway. You know when your kid's in trouble, you know when there's something not right often. And so just, you know, accentuating that, using it more, and just asking, how are they doing? When you ask a question, you get an awareness.
Mm-hmm. And I have to say that thing about kids being related to animals, as someone who does kids very well and not animals very well, though that's changed a lot. Like the first time that I did hear Susie talk about animals like kids, like the way animals run up to you at the door when you come home and they're like so excited. And I was like, oh, and she related it in terms of kids. And I was like, oh, I totally get that with kids. Like kids come up and they're like, hi, yeah. I'm so happy to see you. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, and it just made things with animals so much easier for me. So I get what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Huge difference in my life, personally. Yeah. Awesome. Cool. Total tangent. I'm like, where do we go next?
So do we want to talk about, like, the actual illnesses themselves and, you know, what questions you can ask and how to make it more ease for everybody involved, or?
Sure. Well, and I wonder, because I tend to kind of go to this, it's like, what, and this is like a tool, right? A question that you can ask is like, what is right about this that we're maybe not getting? Mm-hmm. Like, is there a capacity there that maybe hasn't been acknowledged?
Yeah.
And in Access, one of the first tools we talk about is, who does this belong to? And what if 98% of your thoughts, feelings, and emotions, feelings things that you feel physically, don't actually belong to you? And from that perspective, it's like, well, so what are kids creating, or what are they doing or being when they have a lot of these physical things going on? Do they maybe have a capacity with healing with their body that hasn't been acknowledged?
Yeah.
And what are they actually capable of? Well, I know also like animals are really capable of taking out illnesses out of people. And if the child is a healer, like an animal is, or person, it doesn't, you don't have to be a kid for this to happen.
Yeah.
You'll often take stuff out of people trying to heal them. And unless that person is willing to receive that you're giving, they actually won't get any better. Like, for example, my dad had dogs all the time that were developing cancer. And he finally decided he wasn't going to get any dogs anymore because they were all dying. I would say about a year or two later, they discovered his whole body was riddled with cancer. So, but there was no outward, you know, physical effects. The dogs were taking out of the illness out of him all the time. And that's where you want to ask a question too, because it might be something else that the kid's aware of. It could be, you know, a capacity they have with the earth that they, you know, might be going on for them, and they might want to, you might want to facilitate them on that and find out, you know, what's going on with that. And it's simple with things like the earth. If the earth is requiring something from you, you just ask, okay, earth, whatever you require, I give it now. And it's simple. It's, you don't have to stand on your head or twiddle your toes. It's all you ask.
Sure you do.
You know, walk backwards 5 steps. No, yeah. No, nothing like that. It's really simple. You just ask earth, what do you require? And then you just give the earth what it requires.
That's brilliant. Yeah, so it can be a lot of things, and that's where that really basic concept of just asking, you know, what is this? What do we do with it? Can we change it? If so, how do we change it? And just getting clear on, you know, what is it actually, rather than maybe what you've decided it is or been told that it is. Because when you're willing to see what's actually true, then you can deal with what's there.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know.
And the other thing that I would say with that is, like, a lot of people, myself included, especially when I first started, you know, you'd ask, okay, so what is this? And then if you didn't get an answer a split second later, you're like, well, this doesn't work, you know, like, or it must be this, and you start glumping, you start pulling all of the reasons of what this must be, you know. Mm-hmm. I had a similar situation going on where I had a pain in my body. I had been to osteopaths. I had done all these things to try and shift it. I'd had people ask me questions, and nothing sort of moved. And so, but I was willing to keep asking and keep going to find out what it was, and really following those questions and not having a point of view necessarily about where it would lead. And because I was willing to do that, maybe not at first, then I was able to get to it. And once I finally got to it, I realized I was doing just that, taking stuff out of somebody that I cared about so that they would feel better, that it would be easier for them. Could they receive that? Absolutely not. Did I stop? Yes. Did my back get better? Almost immediately.
I have to say thank you for that piece of, like, when they're not willing to receive it, because I've had something like that that I just am starting to get awareness about.
Yep.
Like trying to heal somebody's body and they're not interested in it, and it's just not, you know, and it just gets worse because it's like you keep taking on more and more of it, and they keep creating more and more of it because they're choosing it for whatever reason. It's their choice, and no matter how potent a healer you are, you cannot override someone else's choice for them and their body. And the other thing is too, like, even if somebody is willing to receive it, and you have if you're not acknowledging it, you'll use it against you. So that's the other piece, is being willing to look at it and acknowledge if that is what's going on, and if that is what you're doing, whether they're willing to receive it or not. Acknowledging that you have a capacity as the healer allows you to have more ease with it, so that it's not impacting your body. And I wonder, like,
for some people, maybe what does that mean to be a healer, or like to heal somebody with your body? Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I mean, for people that do it, it's just like breathing. You come in often doing it, like you're born doing it. And so you don't really, unless you have conversations with people about it as a kid, I never did. And I know I took stuff out of my parents all the time. And I look back at my childhood and I'm like, oh yeah, I was doing it then. And when I started to acknowledge I'm still starting to acknowledge, this is a road for me, people, that I do it, because also it's so crazy. 'Cause you're like, what? This is like science fiction, man. Like, I am like an empath or whatever, and I take stuff out of people. Like, what is Star Trek? Like, hello. And I know that it changes stuff. Like, it's crazy and it works. 'Cause I literally couldn't really walk very well in the whole month of January and part of February. And when I was willing to ask questions and really look at what was going on and realize it wasn't mine, it disappeared. So
being a healer literally means like taking things, illnesses out of somebody else's body, absorbing it, and then and healing their body.
And it can even be the crazy in people as well. Like, like if you had crazy parents or whatever growing up. Yeah. And then you try and, you know, you want your parents or, you know, the people you care about to feel better and to have a happy life and to, you know, enjoy themselves. And a lot of us don't get why you wouldn't want to have fun in life. And so it's crazy making, because you're trying to change these people, which isn't an honoring of them either. It isn't a kindness to try and change them when they obviously are enjoying their trauma and drama. So like, just let them do it. But it's difficult because you're like, why would you? It's inconceivable is what it is. And if you're willing to be an allowance and just go, okay, that's what they're choosing, it gets easier. And then they actually have the room to choose as well. And on that topic, looking at kids, I mean, yeah, they may acknowledge that they're healers, and yeah, they may continue to take it out of the people that they care about because that's what they choose to do. And you may have to just go, okay, I have to be an allowance of this kid's choice, even if they might die or they might kill them, you know, like it might kill them eventually. And that's probably, I'm glad I'm not a parent, really. Because that would be, I mean, even with my students, when I see them doing that, I have to really use my pot and pock tools, like the point of creation, point of destruction, those two little words, over and over and over again, they say them, and that destroys and uncreates all that stuff that holds.
Yeah, and that's something too, like, for these kids who are doing, who are healing other people and who are choosing to do that, that's a choice too. And sometimes they're not ready, they're not willing to give that up or to let that go as well. And that is a time when, you know, there's a certain degree of allowance that's required. You know, if you're a parent and you become aware that, oh, my child is healing someone, and you ask them questions and you do your best to facilitate, and they're still choosing it, you got to kind of just expand your allowance and kind of go with it, you know, and you can keep asking questions, as the door opens, but being aware that they have choice in that as well. They may not actually desire to change it.
Yeah. A good friend of mine, I remember when I first met her, her son was going through some stuff, and Gary basically said, you know, you have to be willing to let him go if that's his choice. And it was really hard for her, but she got there eventually, and, you know, he's still around, he's still doing, you know, he's still living.
and just being willing to let go is, you know, creates so much change if you're willing to go. It takes courage, definitely.
And they
may still choose to go down that road, and you just have to, you know, it's their life, it's their, yeah, their choice.
And that's a form of acknowledgement too. It's, you're acknowledging that they have a choice, that they're not the victim of what's going on for them, that they are in some ways in some way creating it, that it is a capacity and an ability. So you still, like, and from there, you don't have to suffer. You get to see what's actually going on. And like you said, it can be one of the hardest choices, but can also be super freeing for everyone involved. Because then they do have choice. They don't have to keep choosing it. They can keep choosing it. To heal someone else and to suffer through it. And if that's fun for them.
I know I had a kid that it wasn't so much that medically he had, you know, things going on, but definitely emotionally, and there's stuff, some family stuff. And this woman asked me if I would work with him and do art with him, because she said that he seemed calmer when he was doing art, and that worked for a while. And the change that was getting created with him coming and being able to do art and relax and stuff like that was causing some crazy at home. And he had a choice. He could have continued to just be him and enjoy and, you know, step forward, but he didn't. He chose to start acting out and becoming more violent. And so I actually had to make the choice and say, look, I can't continue. If he's violent, I can't continue to work with him. And it was really, it wasn't the easiest choice I've had to make, because I really could see that this kid could have been so different for him. And I had to remember that he was choosing what he was choosing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Yes. And this is such a light topic.
So light and fluffy. Yeah. Wow. So what about for teachers? I'm wondering, like, what are some things that teachers can be aware of and have more ease when it's a classroom setting, and you know, you've got kids with certain needs, and then you've got your class as a whole as well. What are some things that you've noticed that are useful in that?
One of the things that's came up for me lately is to not stop, to keep going forward, even though there's stuff going on for a particular kid. It doesn't create more, or at least, you know, I would ask a question, but what has become awareness for me at the moment in this particular situation is it's not creating me, I don't have any words left. It's not creating more for me to, what's the word? Sort of not kowtow, but constantly trying to arrange everybody else in order to suit one particular individual, that I have to look at it and go, okay, here it include them. Like, here is a choice for you that is available if you would like it. And we're going to continue to go this. If you want to come and join us on that, that's cool too, but we're going to keep going forward. So it's providing the support and information they require, but also realizing that you can't stop the entire class just for one person.
And kind of just being straightforward about that, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Like letting the kid know, like, I'm here for you, and I'm also here for everyone else, and we're going to keep moving. So you have a choice. I'm big on choice today, apparently. Like, you can either move with us or not, but that's your choice.
Yeah.
And I'm here for you.
Yeah. And just being that space, as you say, of, you know, you're not judging them for not coming to class or for not keeping up for, you know, you're giving them the tools if they choose to use them, and the support if they you know, wish to choose it. And, you know, it's, you're also not twisting yourself into a pretzel.
Yeah.
Because
Go ahead. I was just saying, the thing I keep hearing a lot in like the story you're telling and the interactions that you've had is really like choosing what's honoring for you and including the other person or the other people and acknowledging them and what they require and being willing to be there for them, but really saying like, and this is what's honoring of me and I'm going to choose this and you're welcome to work with me or, or I'm going to keep going and do what I require and what works for me. Does that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I guess really being clear on what you can provide to someone, but also what you require and what's going to be kind to you.
Well, and also not trying, like, there's a big thing on, particularly in teaching, like the sympathy and the empathy and trying to fix people and, you know, whether it's that they're sick or they're having emotional problems or whatever, instead of just going, okay, well, this is the way it is. I'm here if you require me. And if, you know, you can ask the questions, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it, giving them, empowering them with the choice of their own.
Totally. Oh, that's awesome. Cool. And that applies across the board.
Yeah, this is not just a one-stop shop, people.
Good rule of thumb. Awesome. So we've got about 4 minutes left in our half hour. And I was just looking at, our website, and we've got tons of extracurricular classes that are coming up and starting today, tomorrow, this week. So I highly encourage people, if you're curious about the classes that we're offering, we've got art and theater starting soon and benevolent capitalist classes and just math media, so many things. There are so many things going on at the Access Possibility School with amazing teachers. And so I would invite you to check it out. Our website is www.accesspossibilitiesschool.com. And at the top of the homepage, you'll see programs, and under there, we've got our full-time school program, our extracurricular classes for children and teenagers. We also have classes for adults and tutoring as well, and it's all online. Our classes are super dynamic and just really wonderful and amazing, and the feedback we've gotten has been has reflected that. Is there anything in particular, Simone, that you're aware of that coming up that you'd like to mention?
Well, we have an open house coming up. I believe it's April 3rd. It should be on the website soon and also on our Facebook page. And so if you want to try us out for a day and, you know, your kid wants to see what it's all about and just see the classroom and do some activities and stuff, that's coming up. We also have a newsletter that comes out every month, and it's got great tips and tools and stories and all kinds of things.
Awesome. And if you would like to stay in the loop and get information about upcoming classes and more tools from the teachers at the Access Possibility School, you can sign up for our newsletter on the website as well on accesspossibilitiesschool.com. Just wanted to make sure that we got all of that in there. We still have a couple minutes. Do you have any last tips or tools?
I actually recommended a book to one of our parents the other day. I was like, because she was saying she would like to have more connection with her kid, and he's on the spectrum, and I said, actually, the Talk to the Animals book may give you some awareness in there. And it's a great book to really get a sense of, you know, how we do take stuff out of people and how to change it. There's some great processes in there, some great information. And it's one of my first books I ever bought, and it's from Access, and it's still one of my favorites. It's so useful. I still refer to it over and over again.
Cool. Cool. So, an unexpected turn on today's topic. Kids and animals, that, how they're smart.
Yeah, you can get that at accessconsciousness.com and at the shop. And I believe you can also get it on Amazon, too. So.
Yeah, most likely.
Awesome.
Thanks. All right. Awesome. All right. We will see you next week on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for being with us.
All right. Thanks so much.
Bye.